Yesterday, I had a chance to do something that I have not done in a really long time. I went to a church service, an Easter service, with my wife's side of the family. And it was the first time that I had gone to a church service and without my job being on the line. Like, if I don't show up here on a Sunday, I probably don't show up any more Sundays because I don't probably have a job. But it was really neat because it gave me an opportunity to go in to church and remember what it feels like to be new. To remember what it feels like to not be known. And it was important for me because as a church here at Crow River, we want to be a warm, welcoming place. And we understand that some of you are coming in and it's not easy to walk in those doors. When you're not known, when you don't know maybe why we're doing what we're doing, it can feel uncomfortable. And so I just want to say, look, I've been there. I know what that feels like. I've been reminded, and we're trying to create a church where people can come in and feel welcome, feel a part of this family. We'll use that word a lot if you stick around, that we're more than a community. We want to be a family that encourages each other, that walks through life together, that finds out what does it mean to follow Jesus together. So if you're visiting, I just want to say thank you for being here. I hope that you feel welcome. If you have any questions, never hesitate to reach out. One way that we get people connected into our church is we leverage the fact that so many of us have cell phones and smartphones. So instead of filling out a connection card, you can use your phone to get connected here. All you got to do is text ConnectMeCRC to the number 555-888, and that will send you a link that you can put in your information, and that'll get you on our email list, which will allow you to get our weekly emails that share all the things that are going on here at church. Another thing that we're going to do later this month is my wife and I are going to host a meal at our house for newcomers. So if you're new today, or maybe you've come to Crow River for years and you just don't feel super connected, this is an opportunity for you. I promise I'm not cooking, so it will be good. All you got to do is bring yourself. You don't have to bring any food. My wife is a good cook. It's April 30th. It's a Sunday night, 5 p.m. We live here in Delano. And if you're interested in coming, bring your family. All you got to do is email me. My email is aaron@crowriverchurch.com. It's on the graphic there. Would love the opportunity to meet you. The last thing I just want to mention is we're doing a 5K race on April 29th. It's an opportunity just for us to do something fun together, but the really neat thing is that we've been gracious to get some sponsors so that the $20 that goes toward registering goes 100% of your registration, 100% of that $20 gets to go to a number of different nonprofit organizations that are helping to feed people who don't have enough to eat, and you get to choose which nonprofit it goes to in our community. So if you're interested, you can run, you can walk, you can rollerblade, you can just come and hang out. We'd love for you to come to that, and you can register for that on our website under events. As part of our worship, we are going to take a time where we give back to God. As a people of faith in Jesus Christ, we recognize that today we are celebrating that Jesus gave everything for us. So we choose to respond in a lot of different ways. We choose to respond by serving people, by loving people, by giving up our time, as well as giving back our money. And so I want to encourage you, as an act of worship, to participate in that. But if you're new and visiting, please don't feel under any participation or any pressure to participate in that. So ushers, you guys can come forward. If you do have any prayer requests, please contact us. We'd love the opportunity to pray for you. When I mentioned I went to that church service yesterday, my father-in-law, his side of the family was there, and his brother was there, and we walk into the auditorium, and I shake hands with him, and he says, "He is risen." And we did this earlier. Now you guys know if you didn't. The response is, "He's risen indeed." And I actually grew up in the church, in a church where they would do that every Easter, so I knew what to say. So he shakes me and goes, "He is risen." And I went, "Yup." That's just what came out. And I didn't even think anything about it. I just went, yup. And then I went through the rest of my life, my day. And my wife this morning goes, do you realize what you said to my uncle? And I was like, what? I responded. He's like, no, you said yup. And I was like, well, it's still agreeing, right? So if I say he's risen and you say yup, it's okay. Let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you to try to boil down Easter and what it is we're doing here and what it is we're celebrating, if I asked you to boil down Easter and the meaning of Easter to you into one word, what word might you use? I imagine that there would be a wide variety of answers to that question. You might use the word Jesus, salvation, cross, tomb, risen, bunnies, eggs, candy. I mean, a lot of different words that we might use to define what it is we're celebrating here. Now, and a lot of them are right, minus the bunny stuff, because that's not what Christians celebrate. We celebrate the fact that God sent his son into this world to live a perfect life, a life that none of us could live. And by living the life that we should live but can't live, and dying the death that we should die, and paying the penalty of our sin, we can be forgiven, and we can be saved. Now, if you were to ask a Christian, you know, what are we celebrating, or what does it mean when we say that Jesus came to earth, that Jesus came here for us? The answer, I think, that we would hear most of the time is to die for our sins. And that's right. But it's not the total, complete answer. Yes, Jesus came, and yes, he died. But he came to die, but he came also to resurrect. He came not only to pay the penalty of our sin, but to give us new life, to give us new stories, new chapters in our life, to give us second and third chances that we might need. The resurrection, which we celebrate on Easter, is something that we can't forget. That the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is that same power that God can use in our lives to change us, to transform us. So this morning, as we think about the words that we might use to define Easter, one word that Scripture uses to define what Jesus did and all he accomplished is the word love. That you could boil down what we're celebrating here today into that word love. Now, the word love we use so often, and it's used in a lot of different places, in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different contexts. And if I were to ask you, how do you define love? My guess is all of us would have different answers. And some of them might be right, might be truly what love is, love that is defined by God. But for others, it may just be a little off. The way that we would define love is through the experiences and the feelings that have shaped us. The experiences that we've tied to love. And for some, that could be super painful. For some, it could be super risky. Like, you've put yourself out there, and you've loved, and you've received nothing but rejection and pain. So for a lot of us, if we're honest and we look at What is love? We might not have any idea how to really define that. You know, I remember that when I was younger, I mean, if you asked me at different points in my life how I would define love, I'd probably define it differently depending on, you know, the stage of life that I found myself in. When I was 5, if you would have come up to me and said, "What do you think love is?" I would have said frosting. I loved frosting, and frosting loved me. I would go find it in my mom's cupboard, and I would go and hide, usually like under an end table. I literally would crawl under end tables and stuff so my mom wouldn't find me, and I'd start eating out of the jar of frosting with a knife, by the way, never a spoon. Maybe because I was a boy, it had to feel a little dangerous. I don't know. But you know, that was that. Oh man, I loved frosting. And then at 17, if you asked me, how would I define love? It was probably like the movie Armageddon. You remember that movie? The movie where the big asteroid. It was at this point, I remember in high school, toward the end of my. In high school, it was like Hollywood was coming out with every way the world could possibly end. And Armageddon was a big asteroid coming toward the Earth. And these people were going to go and land on it and drill down into it and then put an atomic bomb in it and save the world. It was real life stuff, you know? I mean, but I remember, you know, remember that movie and the Aerosmith song, "I Don't Want to Close My Eyes," and, you know, there's this love story going on. And I just remember, like, at that time in my life, and I think into my 20s, love was defined by Hollywood and feeling and emotion and intensity and passion. You know, maybe I could find that one special person. Maybe one day I'll go land on an asteroid and drill a hole and put an atomic bomb in it and save the world. And now I'm 35 and I probably define love by frosting again. But but what is your definition? Is it a feeling? Emotion? Is it about what people do for you or to you? Is it relationships, kids? Is it justice? Is it about seeing justice in this world? Is it about morality, about being good? Well, how does the Bible define it? In the book of 1 John, we get a definition, and it's a definition that ties directly into what we are celebrating when we celebrate Holy Week and Easter. In 1 John 4, verse 9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is how God showed his love among us. Here is the way that God is demonstrating what love is. If God is going to define what love truly is, he's going to do something. And this is what he does. It says he sends his Son into the world so that we may live through him. When we're trying to figure out how does God define love and how can I start to live lives where love is defined by God, I want to look at that first verse, and I want to look at three words or three phrases. The first is that it says that God sent his Son. What do we learn about the love of God in the fact that he sends his Son? Well, the fact is, when you focus in on that word sent, what we see is that we have a God who loves us and initiates that love. He's the one who pursues us. He's the one who starts. It's not us. And this is where a lot of us find dilemma. The only way we've really experienced love is when we've started it, when we've done something, when we've pursued, and then that person responded. That's not how God's love works. And yet a lot of us, we work and we live lives where we're working really hard to do the right things, to say the right things, to initiate love, hoping that God and other people will love us back. And to be honest, that's how a lot of us love each other. What can I get from you? Well, how can that person make me feel? I mean, that's what dating is. What are you going to do for me? How does this person make me feel? What is the life this person can give me? What's the future that together we could have? If we're honest, it's pretty self-focused. But a lot of us spend enormous amounts of energy trying to get people to love us, trying to get God to love us. And you can't receive a love that is defined by God from God unless you allow Him to be the one who starts it. To recognize that He is pursuing you, that Him sending His Son to a cross to die, to be beaten, to be sacrificed, is His demonstration of the extraordinary lengths that He is willing to go to demonstrate His love for us. No greater love is this than to lay down your life for someone else. It's precisely what Jesus did. But you and I are left with a decision. Because if God initiates love, or if anyone in our life initiates love, we're left with two different options. It's either receive it or deny it. I remember, you know, growing up, one of the things that you did to show a girl you liked them was you got them flowers. And after college, there was this girl that I liked pursuing, and I thought she liked me. And so I did what I thought you were supposed to do. I'm going to pursue her, and I'm going to send her flowers. And I sent her flowers. Beautiful, expensive bouquet, which I now regret. Sent it to her. She never called me back. Never called me back. I know. Mean. And I would call her, and I never got a response back. And I go, I thought this worked, you know? I am seeking, I'm pursuing. And she just said, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Fast forward a few years later, there's another girl, a much, much more beautiful girl. Way more talented. And I decided to send her flowers. And I was kind of nervous. Last time the girl broke up with me, I don't know, this is a make or break it. I sent her the flowers, and she called me, like crying, saying, I've never had a guy give me flowers before. I married that girl. Oh, no, you guys don't have to clap. I wish my wife, Cal was here at the first service and people didn't clap, so I'm going to have to tell her. But the point is this, is in that experience, in my pursuit to show my affection, there's a decision that is made to receive it or deny it. So knowing that God sent, God came, we're all left with a decision. Do I really believe this? Can I trust this? Can I put my hope in this? That everything that Christians say is Easter, the story of Easter, the death and the resurrection. Can I believe it? Can I trust it? The text says that God sent His one and only Son. The fact that He sends His one and only Son reveals to us the enormity and the breadth of His love for us. Having a one-year-old boy, my one and only son, there's nothing I would allow in my power, you know, to give him up. I'd do anything to, like when he's sick, I'd do anything to be sick instead of him. And I imagine as he gets older and I see rejection play out in his life and pain and suffering, I imagine that I'll feel the same way, that I'd do anything to take that on so that he doesn't have to experience it. God the Father allows all the pain, all the rejection, all the suffering. Why would He do that? there had to be something big at stake here. It's simple. He did it for us, for our benefit. See, God's love is not for his benefit as much as it's for ours, that he sends his son to experience all of that pain so that we could experience life, forgiveness, joy, contentment. The last thing it says, that he sent his one and only son so that we could live through him. Life. So that we could have life. How many of you would say that you are living the lives that you have always wanted, always dreamt? Honestly, I didn't think I'd ever be a pastor. I grew up on Maple Plain. I never thought I would live in Delano. I mean, I even said, as much as I loved that girl who I sent flowers to, if you went 5 years before, I said, I don't think I'd ever marry her. In some ways, my life has been a bit of a contradiction. So all the ways that I thought my life was going to go and all the things I was going to do and all the things I was going to accomplish have looked different. Because at the age of 23, I decided to surrender my life, my dreams, my hopes, to follow Jesus. Because to be honest with you, all the pursuit of everything that I thought and everything I wanted and the idea that I could have any form, like sort of control, I realized that my hopes and dreams and everything I wanted was a lot more shallow as I got closer to them than I thought. And control was an illusion. I didn't have any of it. And it was at the age of 23 where I recognized that I needed to surrender to someone who was bigger, who could offer more, so that I could live life. And it was through surrendering at that moment in my life to Jesus in faith. And don't get me wrong, I had obstacles. I had had experiences in church that had left me feeling angry, upset. There was Christians who, in my mind, they really reflect, they were leaders and they reflected what the church and what Christianity and what God was. They let me down. So I had doubt. There was pain, there was bitterness. And some of you this morning, you may feel that way. Churches let you down, pastors have let you down, Christians have let you down. The truth is, we will. But I chose in faith to recognize that Christians aren't the one who's going to save me. They're not God. So what am I going to do with who Jesus proclaims to be? Is that 23 where I recognize, as hard as it is to get past some of these blocks, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. And what ended up happening was a life that I couldn't have written, a life I couldn't have imagined. And a life I would never want, to change and become the life that at the age of 20 I thought that I wanted. Now, has my life been easy? No, in some ways it's been harder because of that choice. But even the moments that have been hard and heartbreaking have been worth it. Because Easter is the announcement that our God is a God of resurrection. And you can only raise something to life that's dead. And there were things in my life that had to die. And there's been things in my life, hopes and dreams, that have died. But instead of the death swallowing me up in hopelessness, the grace and love of God has raised me up with peace and joy and contentment, even in the seasons of pain and heartbreak. That is the life that God is offering us on Easter, the life of resurrection, that even in your in the lowest lows, something can be birthed, something that can give life. A new chapter can start, a new story. That is what Easter and Easter Sunday and the resurrection means. This, verse 10, is not love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is not love, that we loved God. What is John saying here? He's saying that God's acceptance of you, God's love for you, is not based upon your merit, your own merit. So many of us, love is defined on how we behave and our merit. That is not the love of God. It's that God loves us first. Regardless of your past, regardless of your transgressions, regardless of your sin, regardless of your mistakes, regardless of the horrible things that maybe have been done to you, regardless of the injustices in your life, regardless of your history, you are loved by God. He lived the life you could never live. He died the death we should die so that we could be made righteous. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, which simply means God took our place through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has made us right in the eyes of God. God's love for us as a God is a love that is initiated by him, by sending his son to do something that many of us may not do, give up our lives for someone else so that we could live. And not just so that when we die, we could go to heaven. That's the message you've probably heard. It is so that when we die, we could go spend eternity with God, be in his presence in heaven. But it's so that you can experience life now. We pray, may your kingdom come today as it is in heaven. The cross and the tomb is the spark of a revolution that began then and has been going on and will continue to go on till the full redemption of the world. So this isn't about making a choice about going to heaven and then just going on and living life however we want. It's about acknowledging that the salvation, that the life that God is offering us is a new life, a new chapter, a new story, a new way of experiencing life and defining love today. Now. Your salvation has come. It's not coming. It's come. Your Savior has come. Do you want that life? And I can tell you from my own personal experience, man, it might set you off on a different trajectory. But man, is it fun? It's hard at times. And there's seasons of doubt and not understanding God. Because his plan, it doesn't always go the way that we think it will or should go. But it is fun and adventurous. Even in pain and suffering, there can be joy and hope. God will stretch you to live a life that's so much bigger than the life that you could write. That is why Jesus was willing to die for that right. He was willing to die for that life for you. But you get the flowers and you either ignore the phone calls or you respond. God's love is there. It's here. It's waiting for us. It's a love that no man, no woman, no child could give. It's a love that's perfect. It's a love that's bigger than Hollywood and feelings and emotion. But there's a step we must do, a step we must take. And it's a step I want to invite you to take. Even if you're a Christian this morning, maybe your definition of love is skewed. Maybe it's based on merit, feeling, emotion, passion. I want to encourage you to look in your heart and see, how do I define love? And how might I start to receive a love that's defined by God and live from a place of love that is defined by God? If you've never taken that step of receiving all that the cross, the empty tomb, Jesus' life and mission, his resurrection means, his love that sent him, his grace that saves us, it's here. You don't have to fix yourself before you receive it. You don't have to be perfect, because you won't. You'll never get to that place you think you need to be, and you're never going to fix it. God's arms aren't opened when you get your life figured out and fixed up. They're open. It's our choice whether we turn to him and open ours. So I'm going to invite you now. Let's stand together. And I want to invite you to receive a love that's defined by God. And if you've never opened your arms and turned to God and received that love, I just want to invite you this morning. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world. That means you and you and you and you. It means the people who are different than us, the people who look different than us, the people who think different than us, the people on different side of the aisle than us, the people who have squeaky clean stories and histories, and the people who have tattered, broken, painful, mistake after mistake histories. Jesus hung on the cross for all of us. Will you this morning choose in faith to receive that gift of grace and love? If you do, then I just invite you to say the words as I pray in your heart to God. Lord Jesus, we believe that you are the Son of God. We believe that you came to this earth, you lived a perfect life, that you died, the death I should have died. But we believe that you are alive, that you rose 3 days later, fully paying the penalty of our sin. By faith, I believe. In faith, I receive. I ask for your gift of grace. I ask for your gift of a love that's defined by you. And I ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've prayed this prayer, you've now been adopted into God's family forever. Start to live the life that God gave everything up for you. Let's worship together. Thank you for being here. And he's risen. Yup.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. child God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer. Thank you. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Make way before the King of Kings. A God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?